6.5 minutes after 3 o'clock. As we head into the third hour of the overnight, stories of the strange, the unusual, the downright weird, to be sure. By the way, Professor Cervani is, you know, that's a fascinating bunch of stuff. He's the real McCoy. You know, I mean, he teaches meteorology at Arizona State, and also professor, among other things, teaches weather, meteorology, climate, all of the things that affect our lives dramatically and directly. But it's called Weather's Greatest Mysteries Solved, if you wish to get a hold of that. Coming up next hour, William Fortune, The End of the World, 1 second after. This is, could an electromagnetic pulse wipe out civilization? Well, he's a faculty fellow and professor of history at Montreal College in North Carolina. He has books including Gettysburg, Pearl Harbor, but talking about EMPs, that an electromagnetic pulse attack could screw up your day big time. And we'll talk about that next hour. Speaking about screwing up your day, how would you like to have something implanted in your brain when you're in the hospital and you were just there to get your teeth worked on? Well, we're going to talk about brain implants. Chad Kister, by the way, is our guest. He's written an article about that. And, Mr. Kister, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And thank you so kindly. You wrote a story about two people in Ohio that reportedly had brain implants put in them against their will, and apparently against their knowledge. Is that right?
That's correct. It's a form of thought policing, and it is a lot more prevalent than just these two cases. I found other incidents that have been documented around the world. And one of these is still going on in the Athens, Ohio area. The individual still has the brain implant, and he's trying to bring it to the international courts. It appears to be done under the Patriot Act, and because when they've been going to doctors to try to get this documented, they've overheard their doctors being given national security letters. But the one individual recently went up into Canada and documented it, and he's filed petitions with the Organization of American States and with the United Nations, hoping to overrule the Patriot Act using international law.
What are these devices, and who's responsible for them?
Well, people need to understand that this technology has existed for decades, because that's what they're relying on, is the fact that people who say that, oh, they've got voices in their head, the first thing a doctor is going to think of is this person's crazy, schizophrenic, and unless they understand that these brain implants have been around for decades, what they are brain-computer interfaces. And they are small microchips that are put attached to neurons in the brain, and then through wireless frequencies they connect with a computer. And this has been done for paraplegics so that they can communicate. Often there's quite a number of paraplegics like Matt Nagel who cannot speak, cannot even move their arms. And so that's why this technology was developed. And they can surf the Internet. And so there is good applications for this technology. But the problem is it's being used nefariously, apparently by federal police, to engage in thought policing of people who are trying to uncover abuses of the Patriot Act. And we're spending billions and billions of dollars on this technology through nanotechnology laboratories. With DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, also with the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, the Department of Justice, they've spent billions and billions of dollars, and they were supposed to have spent $1.4 billion through the General Accounting Office through ethical oversights and oversights of the implications of this technology. But only 7% of the money that was supposed to be spent on the oversight was spent, while all of the money, in fact excess money, was spent on developing this technology. So there's a big lag there.
Yeah, now, you talked about one woman who came in to a guy by the name of Al Smith, owner of a place called Spy Depot in Columbus. A woman came in asking him to detect wireless frequencies in her head. He apparently has a means by which he can monitor frequency, and he said his device went wild. He detected frequencies with a second wireless device, a spectrum analyzer. She brought in X-rays. He downloaded them. He says, I can read those things. And he said, I spotted it right away. It was about an inch long, he said, a quarter inch in diameter. She had been recently in the hospital. And about 2 weeks later, two men came in asking for him to give an affidavit about her. He said he wouldn't give any information because she was a client. Sometime later, she came back in with the same two men and asked him to write up the affidavit. And then, apparently, he said they say in 10 years, everyone's going to have one.
Yeah, that's what's so frightening, is that there apparently is an effort to microchip everyone as a means of being thought police. This is a totalitarian wet dream of being able to know exactly what someone's going to do, of what people are thinking of. The problem is it leads us right into a Hitler-type society.
Oh, Hitler never had this.
Right, right. And even in the book 1984, they didn't have this degree of technology. They talked about thought police, but they were talking about people looking in on a telescreen.
Right. Yeah. And this is literally thought police.
And luckily, there is some communication within the civil liberties community. Not nearly enough, but there was a conference at the College of William and Mary in March 2008 on the thought crime technology and the Constitution. And there's a Judy Iles, director of the Stanford University of Neuroethics Program in California, said, quote, as the development of thought reading technologies races along, society must face the serious ramifications this revolutionary science presents, and it should do so sooner rather than later. The potential for misuse of this technology is profound. This is a truly urgent situation. And another scientist warns that if I were the next Joe Stalin, I could use this technology to figure out who my friends and enemies are very simply, so I'd know who to shoot.
Now, first of all, who is responsible for doing this? The research, of course, obviously comes out of, among others, DARPA. But who is doing this?
That's a good question. It appears to be the FBI, because the individual in the Athens, Ohio area, who I know well because we were collaborating on a book on concerns on the Patriot Act. I think we're going to be doing separate books, but we've been talking for about a year about potentially doing the two books. We're each doing a book on problems with the Patriot Act, and we've been talking about doing a one book. So I've known him for a long time, and that's how I found out what happened, because he had some direct video and photographic evidence of sneak and peeks. This is where federal agents go in and look in someone's home that they suspect of being a terrorist. It's not just terrorism, though. They're actually using it for drug things other than terrorism. And he had some direct evidence, which he was going to publish, and that's when he had this brain implant put into him while he slept in his home, although he did notice it when he woke up that his home had been broken into. He noticed a severe pain right in his frontal lobe, under his forehead, and also on his right temple. And he immediately, when he started to try to access his computers, they had deleted most of his videos and photos. And when he got into his online accounts, he saw the videos being deleted right before his eye after he entered the codes that apparently they were trying to get his commands. Because once they have this in there, that's what I've confirmed with Jeff Stibel, who makes these brain implants. He's the chairman of BrainGate, is that your thoughts are not just what you think of, say, in words. They include what you see, what you hear, what you dream, and it's a huge amount of information that they get, and they can use that to take your passwords to pretty much control you as well. And they implant voices into the victims' heads as well. And it appears that they're trying to make them look like they're going insane to make it so that their work on in this case, civil liberties issues would be discredited because people would think that this guy's crazy because he's got voices in his head. But he's documented it so well. He's also got x-rays, which I've put up on the web, and he's been filing all kinds of complaints with the Department of Justice and with international courts. So hopefully this will break into the court system, and then everyone will know about it.
You know, this is the first I've heard about this. But you say it's going on and has been going on for some time, and there are ample amounts of evidence by people who have reported it. But documentation, of course, you know, talking about people looking at x-rays and doing frequency readings and the like. Why have we not heard about this before?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, technology has been racing along, and there was a case in Sweden where someone was the victim of a brain implant by the Swedish police back in 1970. But it was just there just hasn't been many cases, and I don't know why it was spent so much time. That did get some international publicity, but it's kind of like I'm a journalism graduate, and you hear about, you know, things make the media, and you hear about it for one day, and then it's on to something else the next. And it just hasn't been an issue that's been given nearly enough focus, because nanotechnology is tremendously powerful, and this is just one aspect of the power of nanotechnology. They can also make video cameras that are virtually unseen. They're also making mice and rats with video cameras that they can control to get into places. And there is some potentially good uses of this. You know, if there's someone who's trapped after an earthquake, it can be a good thing to be looking for people who are still alive. But the problem is they're using it more for surveillance of people who, in this case, are trying to uncover abuses of the Patriot Act. And it's a very, very nefarious abuse of this technology.
All right, hold on, Chad. We're going to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Chad Kister with us. Thought Police Are Real, a 2009 article by Chad Kister. You can go to it, chadkister.com, if you wish to read more. We continue. I'm Rick Barber. You're listening to News Radio 850 KOA.
A train in a station with plasticine pauses with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile. The girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Yeah, with pupils as large as saucers. That's why. 39 degrees. We continue. And right now, we have about 93% humidity. But it's partly cloudy. You can see the stars. But look for temps today around about 60, 61, and a 40% chance of rain. With any luck, that'll shift downward, so things start drying out and warming up a bit, we hope. Meanwhile, back again, we're talking with Chad Kister and talking about an article he had written about the Thought Police Are Real in 2009. Now, you wrote this when?
About 4 months ago, and I'm working on a book about brain implants and about this one individual who I know well in Athens, Ohio, as well as a little bit about the Columbus case that I haven't been able to talk to the woman, but of course I've talked with Al Smith, and I've been trying to find the woman, the victim of in Columbus, Ohio. But my interviews with the Athens, Ohio victim, it's still going on, and they're trying very hard to get it out because he's been so focused on trying to publicize and document and getting this into an international court. And they've been trying to get him to leave his doors unlocked. So supposedly they say, "Well, just wake up and it'll be gone." And he says, "No, I want to document this, and I want you to come public and you know, admit that this is happening." And so hopefully he'll win, and he's got some people like me looking out for him. But he's been doing a lot of research along with me on this technology. And it's been, back in 2004, brain implants did get quite a bit of publicity with Matt Nagle being paraplegic from the neck down. He had a brain implant with BrainGate, the same company who I've interviewed, the chairman of, Jeff Stibel. And he's a quadriplegic, and he's been on all kinds of national TV programs playing games on computer games and surfing the internet just using this brain gate and connect as brain computer interface, so that people have seen it to some degree, but it just didn't get the publicity. He was actually murdered a few years later, but he's there's quite a number of people who played video games with him, and it was documented on national TV programs as well. And I've interviewed a lot of the people with the DARPA, and I filed a lot of Freedom of Information Act requests as well, trying to find out what our government is doing with the billions of dollars they've received in funding for nanotechnology and brain implants. And they have been provided very, very little information. One DARPA spokesperson said that this was just science fiction and paranoia. And then I mentioned the fact that, well, what about this billion-dollar grant that you just got from Congress? And then she hung up, and each time I try to reach her back, I just can't get a hold. She doesn't ever pick up the phone, her secretary doesn't let me get to her. So there's a lot of cover-up going on, and yet we're spending billions of taxpayer dollars. And that's where we need a lot of investigative journalists. We need some watchdog agencies like the General Accounting Office to start saying, hey, what in the heck is our government doing with brain implants and with nanotechnology?
You say it's the FBI, you believe. But the FBI, generally speaking, and I know a few agents that, you know, now clearly, you know, I don't know them all, but almost all the ones I've ever met or have interviewed or do know are decent people. Who are these cats?
Well, most of them are, certainly, and you know, most law enforcement are very good people, too, but there have also been a lot who have expressed interest in thought policing. That's what Jeff Stibel confirmed to me, is that there's been a lot of interest in the law enforcement community, particularly in the anti-terrorism part of the law enforcement community, in actually doing thought policing. They say that they can know for sure if someone's done something, and they say it's the ultimate law enforcement tool. I've heard that from Jeff Stibel from third hand that he had heard from law enforcement. But not all FBI agents are good. There were recently two that were convicted of spying on teenage girls as they changed clothes in West Virginia. They put the international group Hospice International was doing a fundraiser and they had all kinds of donated prom dresses that they were selling very inexpensively to West Virginia teenage girls, and two FBI agents stationed a video camera right above where they were changing clothes, and they were arrested. One pled guilty and was given a $200 fine. The other still has a trial coming up. So certainly most FBI agents are good, but not all of them are, and there's a very large incentive to cover something up. The Patriot Act allows for secret clandestine activities, and if the law enforcement goes over the line, they have a heck of a lot of an incentive to try to cover it up. And it appears that in the one case in Athens, Ohio, the brain implant is being used to try to cover up violations of the activities under the Patriot Act in which they've been caught on video surveillance and through photographs.
Yeah, but these are two pervs.
In West Virginia, correct. But it does show, law enforcement aren't always the perfect role models that we wish they were. And particularly with the secrecy granted under the Patriot Act, it just is ripe for abuse. And that's why I would like to see a repeal of the Patriot Act. I think we can prevent horrific terrorist acts without the use of the need of the Patriot Act.
So these brain implants, as you say, have been going on for a while. But the people who are chosen are ones that are, what, politically inconvenient?
Yes, civil libertarians who are raising awareness of the abuses of things like the Patriot Act, abuses of law enforcement, and calling for more oversight. The one individual in Athens has been very outspoken and testified before Congress to try to repeal the Patriot Act and investigate abuses of the Patriot Act. And it appears that those who have who are using the Patriot Act and really like it are targeting him to just make him go away. And what he says they're doing is two individuals who are implanting voices into his head. And again, I've confirmed with Jeff Stibel that it's very simple, that the cochlear implant, which is used, is more than 100,000 of them for hearing, can be used to implant voices into someone's head. And his brain gate, too, can be used to hear what people are thinking. And so he said, yes, it would be no problem to be doing, this technology already exists for what this individual says is happening. And he says what they do is they'll say one thing and wait till he thinks that they're true. Like, for example, he'll say something like, the Department of Justice is investigating this case of the brain implant. And they'll just keep repeating it. And once he says, oh, great, they're investigating, then they'll switch over and say the exact opposite. The Department of Justice is not investigating this case. And it seems like almost a form of a CIA psyop, so psychological operations, to try to make the guy go crazy. Because the 24/7, voices and putting in his head and constantly saying one thing then saying the other, and he looked up some of the CIA textbooks under the psychological operations that they did using not using brain implants but using sound waves and to where people were held in prison cells, and that's the exact kind of thing that they did to try to make people look crazy so that they could get them certified as being schizophrenic, and then they wouldn't be able to stand trial against abuses of the Patriot Act. So that's what he believes is going on. And I've seen his x-rays, and you can't deny that there's a brain implant in there. And that's what's so shocking to me, is like, he's got the evidence. Why can't he prove this? And it appears to be they're using national security letters every time he goes in and has a x-ray technician look at his x-rays. So that's why I've put them online, and I've put the word out. If anyone is an x-ray technician, or you don't even have to be an x-ray technician. You can see the device, right, affixed to the frontal lobe of the individual's brain on the x-rays. And why?
How do they insert these things?
Through the nasal cavity. They don't even have to apart the skull. They can just go right up and through the nasal cavity, and they just push this device. It's got about 100 pins on it into the brain, and that I've confirmed with Jeff Stibel, who makes these things. He says it is brain surgery. It's got a lot of dangers, but it's not that difficult of an operation. It can be done relatively quickly and with relatively little expertise compared to most brain surgeries. Because the nasal cavity goes all the way up to the frontal lobe of the brain, and so they can have devices that go up into the nasal cavity and they just push these pins into the brain and into the right. It's got to be an exact right location is the main thing. And then it's a wireless frequency. They use very, very little energy, and so they can last for years and years without the need for recharging the battery.
Hmm. And you say that whenever they get evidence or proof of these implants, there are security letters?
Yes.
By whom?
Well, in one case, because he's been to several hospitals, he tried to come out and confront, because he was in a room and they left the door open, and he overheard two individuals come in and say that the doctor was not permitted to tell the patient about what he had found, and said this is a national security issue, and overheard the national security letter. And he went out to confront them, and the hospital security was right there and said, you have to stay in your room, stay back. And then all the doctor would say is, well, everything looks normal. And he pointed on the x-ray, what is this device right on my frontal lobe? And said, oh, it's just a part of the nasal cavity. Everything's normal. And yet, you look at the device, and I've looked at normal x-rays, hundreds and hundreds of normal x-rays, and you just can't miss this black object right on the frontal lobe of the individual's brain.
Hmm.
And I blew it up 400% in the second photo that's online, so you can see a closer look at it. But all it needs is some brave or just some x-ray technician who might be listening to this program. Take a look, confirm it, and give me a call. My phone number is also on my website. And so because all he needs is some good confirmation, and he can get it into court and try to get this resolved and let people know what's going on.
Hmm. All right. Hold on a second, if you will, Chad. Chad Kister, his article about the thought police are real. And you can read the article. Just go to chadkister.com. And also, by the way, phone to contact, and also the attachments with these x-rays. 303-713-8585, the number 336. We continue. I'm Rick Barber. You're listening to News Radio 850 KOA. Well, I do. It's 3:41. Anyway, we continue on. And again, we're talking this hour with Chad Kister, a reporter and writer. He's written an article called The Thought Police Are Real in 2009 about brain implants that are actually interfaced with the brain directly. In other words, they can listen to your thoughts. Why haven't you been targeted?
Well, I have been. My internet has been extraordinarily hacked into. I filed 20 FTC complaints regarding a lot of my emails that say they sent or not sent, and often my internet is hacked when I'm trying to research or publicize this issue, and I've been documenting all of it. The various activities have been happening. I've also am 3 for 3 so far in my lawsuits against police agencies for civil liberties violations. So I've got thousands of pages of court documents showing how police have violated my liberties in various ways, including beating me nearly to death in a demonstration in Washington, D.C. So I have been targeted, but I do have some very powerful lawyers that have held them accountable, and so I think they might be a little more wary because they know that because of my the legal precedent of winning all these lawsuits, if they do anything else to me, they will need to, the damages will be much, much greater, because the courts will say, hey, why didn't the police learn from the last three times that I've successfully sued them? So, but stuff is happening, and I am documenting it, and it all seems to be focused on trying to keep me from uncovering more cases of brain implants. And people have been microchipping their pets.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been putting RFID microchips to do things like pay for drinks at bars. There's a bar in Spain that has been offering people RFID chips so that they could just swipe their arm and and pay for a drink. So this has been used, not in, other microchips in other forms have been used in humans and in pets for well more than a decade. And they've also found a lot of problems with cancers. The rate of cancer increases at least 10% around the microchips. And the researchers found that, quote, in nearly all cases, researchers concluded that the microchip implants induced, caused the malignant tumors found in their studies. And they includes various kinds of cancerous tumors that have been found right around these implants, both in animals and in people as well. So there's a lot of other concerns than just the civil liberties matters. There's a very real health concern of brain cancer, which is, of course, the most insidious type of cancer, as we've seen with the recent passing of Ted Kennedy, in putting these into people against their will.
You say that most of the media doesn't seem to give this any real credible thought, and yet, as you say, there's evidence. What kind of response are you getting from other news organizations and newspapers, or are you?
I did publish my article in a Texas newspaper and a number of smaller publications, and I've been on the few media that have actually looked into it have been, well, you know, they realize it's not just me saying this. You know, I went ahead and just gave on the web the audio of the interview with Al Smith. I've also been giving out the interview, even though I am doing a magazine article on it, with my interview with Jeff Stibel, who makes these brain implants, to confirm that not only is the technology there, but that law enforcement has expressed an interest in being thought police. And so I'm hoping that more media will take a look at this. I work a lot on climate change issues, and so it's not my entire focus, which doesn't help in terms of trying to get the word out, but I'm going to continue to try to, and I'm going to be doing a book on brain implants, and so that should help a lot to document that not only the technology is here, but that there's really no question that these two cases occurred. You just can't deny the x-rays. And the x-rays, what is that object is the question, and no one can answer that.
What about members of the government, the representatives, Senate, House of Representatives, state legislator? What have you done there?
Well, the individual has contacted both of his senators and his representative, and he's also placed messages with President Obama. And there hasn't been much effort of investigating this, and I've been meaning to call them myself and say, why aren't you investigating this? You know, they're supposed to be doing the case work for their constituents, and this guy's got all this kind of evidence, but so far they haven't been doing much of anything. And he's also contacted the General Accounting Office, which is also supposed to be doing oversight for nanotechnology in our country. But it appears that it all comes down to the Patriot Act, and that the provisions under the Patriot Act to keep things like this, the abuses of it, secret. And that's why he's going now to the international courts, to the Organization of American States, and to the United Nations, which is, of course, meeting right now in New York. He's filed a number of complaints, because it is a violation of human rights, too, of the Human Rights Charter and also of the Geneva Conventions. He's calling it a form of torture, of psychological terrorism and psychological torture. And so hopefully some of these international bodies will overrule the Patriot Act, and it can get into the public light, and then everyone will know about it once it finally breaks into court. It's been amazing to me as much documentation as I've gotten, as he's gotten, and as much work as I've done to try to publicize this, just that it has not yet broken into the court system, because he's trying, and they're trying to get it out of him in a secret manner. And he's a really brave individual. You don't get much more courage than that in America. He's really putting his life on the line, knowing that this could increase his risk of brain cancer, to hold out and try to make sure that this is documented so it doesn't happen to someone else.
All right, hold on, Chad. One more break, and then we'll take it to the top. Chad Kister with us, Brain Implants. And by the way, you can go to his website, Chad Kister, KISTER.com. One word, Chad. And you can see all of the, both the article and also the x-ray attachments. And how you can reach him on his telephone, 303-713-8585, the number. We continue on News Radio 850 KOA. .53 as we hit on the upside, heading towards the top, of course. We'll have a news update, and Brenda Stewart brings us up on the news. Back again, we're talking with Chad Kister and his article about the Thought Police. Have you gotten any feedback at all from other people who say they've been somehow victimized?
Well, yes. There was a radio program that in which he put a the word out to only receive calls from people who have been victims of brain implants, and he got a whole bunch of calls, and one of them, an Indiana woman, knew of six people with very similar symptoms, and I wasn't able to get her phone number. I've been trying to track it down to see if the radio station got it through caller ID or something, but she didn't give her phone number, and there are two other cases. And both sounded very credible, but, you know, unless I actually see the x-rays, it's just hard to tell because voices in the head, you know, could be schizophrenia.
Mm.
Unless, you know, unless I know they're credible individuals and I see the x-rays, it's just hard to actually confirm it. But I would highly doubt if these are the only two cases that I just happened to stumble upon. I'm guessing there are a lot more.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, you know. There's always the chance that you also may get some people who are just flat nuts.
Right. And so that's why, you know, I say, you'll get an x-ray, and let's see. But the problem is they're beginning to try to make these out of carbon fiber. Most of them are now made of silicon, and they do show up on an x-ray. But DARPA is working on making them out of carbon fiber, in which case they would be virtually invisible. And that's why we need a lot more oversight. And the Patriot Act, three provisions of the Patriot Act are up for renewal, and Russ Feingold has introduced the Justice Act, which provides some fixes to make the Patriot Act less intrusive on our civil liberties. And I think that's where we need to focus, because that appears to be giving the back door to get around the Constitution, even though the Constitution actually does trump the Patriot Act. But as long as it's all kept in secret, there's no way to challenge it. And so the best way, I think, to try to combat this is two things. One, try to repeal the Patriot Act. It's really not necessary. It's just what it does is create more of a clandestine government and this kind of nefarious activities. And two, restore the full funding that was granted by Congress for oversight over nanotechnology. We're spending tens of billions of dollars on nanotechnology and brain implants, but we're spending virtually nothing on monitoring what is going on with this technology. And it's very, very critical that we get more media attention to this issue as well, because of the implications for our civil liberties and how easy it would be to march us toward a totalitarian society and a Hitler-like domination of our country, which then march us into World War III. And if they could nefariously put these in two individuals, they could do this to, say, an Air Force commander and get the codes to nuclear weapons. And it could be used, of course, for as methods of spying. There's just so many nefarious uses of this that it needs a lot more attention. People need to know that this technology exists, and we need to work on uncovering other abuses of it.
I would think the bigger problem is putting him in the brain of a president.
Yes, exactly. That's the number one, is that if you could do that and then get information that could be used to blackmail the president to do anything.
Well, what you're suggesting is somebody working completely outside the government with no real purpose other than to actually just undo the government. In other words, here they are inside the government, but that's not who they're working for.
Right. And if you've got something that's easy to install, according to Jeff Stibel, it doesn't take a it doesn't really take a brain surgeon.
Actually, it does take a brain surgeon in this case.
But it can be done. It's not really, really complex, is what he's saying.
Hmm.
It's just you just kind of stick it in the right location.
Yeah, so to speak. Yeah, I've heard that line. Again, your website, chadkister.com, people can access all this material?
Right.
And you have the attachments with the x-rays and also your phone number?
Right.
All right, and they can get a hold of you.
Yep.
Well, Chad, good luck with your work.
Thank you.
This is interesting stuff, to be sure. I don't know what to say, but it certainly is fascinating.
Well, I'll continue to get more documentation.
All right, very good. And Chad Kister's article again, chadkister.com. Chad, good luck and have fun.
Thanks.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
News is coming up. We're going to find out what's been going on in the last hour with, of course, Brenda Stewart, and then we're going to join up with William Fortune, The End of the World, 1 second after, electromagnetic pulse. It could wipe out everything, especially civilization and technology as we know it, so stick around. You're listening to News Radio 850 KOA.